This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Wang Xiaoning and Philip C. Let's recap how global markets ended trading yesterday.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
Terrible. So US markets all down. The Dow and S&P 500 down 0.7%. NASDAQ down 0.6%. However, in Asia, mostly green. The Nikkei was up 1.6%. Hang Seng up 2%. Singapore up marginally 0.02%. While even back home, FBM KLCI was up 0.4%. The only one down was Shanghai Composite, which was marginally only down at 0.01%.
So for some analysis on this, we turn to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Good morning, Joe, and happy Columbus Day to you. The energy crisis shows no sign of abating in the short term. How long do you think this will last before energy demand catches up with supply? Because WTI is now past $80 per barrel.
I think it's going to be a while. It's going to weigh on the market. You know, higher energy prices are a tax on consumption, travel. So crude oil prices, natural gas, heating oil, gasoline, and then throwing food prices and wages. Yeah, everything's going up. So it's costing more, and that's weighing on market sentiment for sure.
What other consequences will it have on the broader market, though, Joe?
Well, you know, we're focused on earnings here near term, but the biggest issue is when you look into 22, Goldman Sachs, some other companies, banks, they're lowering their growth estimates for 22 because of these energy prices. Inflation is becoming more embedded. So, you know, as global GDP is brought down, so are earnings. So that's what's weighing on the markets right now. It's the expectations that we're not escaping and accelerating. The good news, the Delta variant is getting better, much better. The bad news, prices are rising, costs are going up, demand is being destroyed, and here we are. We're kind of like slogging into the year end.
So help us unpack a bit more the expectations on third quarter. You know, what sectors do you think will do well or not do well then as we see third quarter numbers come out?
Well, you know, earnings estimates are still going to be good. They're going to be about 27%. That's the consensus year over year. But not as good as the second quarter. But, you know, it's going to be a wild earnings season because it's going to be sector specific, whether it's financials, materials, energy. I think tech lags a little bit here. It's all about owning companies that can pass on the prices, whether it's the wages and the inputs. And they're becoming fewer and fewer because prices are rising so rapidly. So you want to know energy, hard assets, commodities. I think they still do well. Materials, financials, because it's steeper yield curve. But it's going to be a very choppy, volatile earnings season.
And fears of inflationary pressures combined with falling growth rates are starting to creep into financial markets. Are concerns over stagflation in developed markets overblown at this stage, or do you think, you know, we should be worried about this?
Yeah, I think we should be worried about it. It's a topic of, you know, it's the first topic every client calls, stagflation. So rising prices, inflation, lower growth. And how do you position that in portfolios? You know, really growth or value, you kind of throw that out. Maybe small cap, they might do better, but I don't know. I think stagflation is a key theme heading into 22, because whether it's the bottleneck, no labor, you know, the employment number wasn't that good on Friday. We can't find the workers. So this is all culminating into something that's becoming much more serious. And overlay this, the Fed is behind the curve. The Fed has been dead wrong in calling the inflation outlook this year. That's weighing on the market as well, because these prices are becoming more embedded and they're getting worse, not better.
Does this then put pressure on the Fed to actually act faster? It's already going to taper, but what about rate hikes?
I think the tapering is on the table. It's tightening because of the stagflation, right? Slower growth, higher prices. That puts the Fed in a bind. So you want to raise rates because then you create the recession that you're trying to avoid. So hopefully we can get some of these bottlenecks behind us. Hopefully we start traveling more, people, you know, get out there and spend. But, you know, people have a lot of money. You just can't spend it. You can't go to a restaurant and no one's there to serve you. And you can't buy a car because there's no cars to buy. So it's true in the United States, across Southeast Asia and Malaysia. Hopefully you people start to travel more. That'll help. Come to the U.S.
Yes, book a ticket for me to LA soon, yeah. But, you know, as we shift away from U.S. and Europe, where we see things beginning to lag, Asia-Pac seems to be getting a handle on the pandemic, so you're expecting to see the same rotation into value stocks that, you know, have been characteristics of U.S. equities.
I think, you know, we're seeing, I mean, a lot of portfolio managers are a little confused. They want to own tech, but the regulatory backdrop is tough. Value is doing well. And if you really want to own outside the United States, it's more value versus growth because the growth companies are more in the U.S. I think, you know, Asia kind of lagged through the summer and early part of the fall. That could come back. And you've already seen China bounce back. So I think China's kind of the harbinger for what's happening. So we're starting to see some rotation into, say, developed Asia, developing Asia. But U.S. investors like to stay close to home. They don't travel. They don't go that far, literally and figuratively, when it comes to their portfolio. So it's a choppy environment. But I think earnings in general be better than expected. But it's a stock-picking, sector-specific market. And that's true geographically, globally as well.
So what will you pick then, Joe, since you say it's a sector-specific kind of market?
But what do we like here? I mean, we still like, you know, hard assets, commodities, energy, materials. Financials, I think, are going to do well. The industrials, I think industrials got a little blown up a little bit here on the China slowdown. But China will do whatever it takes to keep that economy growing. So the industrials on a pullback here look good to me. And technology. We talk about this all the time. Anytime you provide technology on it, you have to buy it because there's so much going on in that space long term.
Joe, thanks as always for your comments. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, speaking to us out of New York on the kinds of trends affecting global markets, saying that, you know, there are sectors in the Asia Pacific that are definitely worth investing in at this time.
Very upstream driven, you know, related to commodities, oil and gas, industrials, really not so much consumer facing.
No, I think those companies, you see, his point is basically don't buy companies that cannot pass on their cost to consumers.
Yep.
And at this current juncture, because the economy is still somewhat fragile, there are question marks whether consumer companies can do so. So like the fast moving consumer goods, be it the cereal maker or the dairy producer. So prices have gone up incredibly for them. But can they actually pass on 100% of the cost? Probably not. So we will see margin compression from these guys. But the people who can pass on the cost, yeah, look at them, because there's still going to be some growth. And I think he likes financials, be it in Asia or even in the US.
I wonder if you break down the consumer, whether it's the premium, the upmarket brands that will do a bit better, right? And I guess the question also is the propensity to pay, which is wages, right? So in the US also, there was a very disappointing jobs report where not only do you see less jobs growth, but also real wages actually were not really increasing.
Yeah, when you compare that with inflation.
And Joe did sort of signal the alarm about inflation being non-transitory. He thinks the Fed is dead wrong with that assessment. And speaking of inflation and rising prices, we turn our attention to Bitcoin, which climbed above $57,000 for the first time since May, as speculators bet that the largest cryptocurrency will retest the record highs reached earlier this year. We don't know what's driving this. It rose about 4.3% to, you know, over $57,000 yesterday before paring gains. Just to record, it almost reached $65,000 in April. But we don't know what's driving this rally,
no,
do we?
No, we've had this discussion countless times, right? How do you value Bitcoin? Demand, supply, or is it the technology behind it, the blockchain technology? Question mark. But I think as it becomes increasingly more mainstream and seen as a tool almost against the inflation,
yep,
then you see prices like this. But volatility is still very, very much part of Bitcoin. Just a few days ago, it was below 50,000 and now we're 57,000. What can I say?
The one reason that people say investors are particularly excited about could be that a Bitcoin futures ETF may soon be green-lighted by the U.S. regulator. So when the U.S. regulator gives its stamp of approval on Bitcoin, that can only ratchet up its cachet, right? So that could
maybe
be a reason why people are excited about it now?
I don't know. For me, you know, when it gets really mainstream is when the investment banks put it as part of their trading portfolio.
Yes.
And then they have to do mark-to-mark losses.
Correct.
Or gains.
Correct.
That's when it really goes mainstream. Now they're just allowing their clients to buy and sell it. And
yeah,
that's a big difference.
Yes. I think it's very interesting that in the past, we hear a lot of it linked to speculation about certain tweets and all that. But now it's more correlated to certain prices and all that. So that's where it's an interesting trend now with respect to Bitcoin.
Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.